Moses giving his final words of warning, instruction, encouragement in Deuteronomy chapter 30. We begin our reading this morning here at the first verse. And it shall come to pass when all these things are come upon thee, the blessing and the curse, which I have set before thee, and thou shalt call them to mind among all the nations, whither the Lord thy God hath driven thee, and shalt return unto the Lord thy God, and shalt obey his voice according to all that I command thee this day, thou and thy children, with all thine heart and with all thy soul, that then the Lord thy God will turn thy captivity and have compassion upon thee, and will return and gather thee from all the nations whither the Lord thy God hath scattered thee. If any of thine be driven out unto the uttermost parts of heaven, from thence shall the Lord thy God gather thee, and from thence will he fetch thee. And the Lord thy God will bring thee into the land which thy fathers possessed, and thou shalt possess it. And he will do thee good, and multiply thee above thy fathers. And the Lord thy God will circumcise thine heart, and the heart of thy seed, to love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul, that thou mayest live. And the Lord thy God will put all these curses upon thine enemies, and on them that hate thee, which persecuted thee. And thou shalt return and obey the voice of the Lord, and do all his commandments which I command thee this day. Our Father, again we thank you for the day in which we live, a day that we can see the possibility of this glorious portion of Scripture being fulfilled. We know that even though Israel is gathered into the land, she's not gathered there as this Scripture has described. Multitudes of Jews live all around the world at this point. But we thank you that there's a coming day when they will be alarmed, and they will be drawn, and they will return, and it will all have come about by your working. And we would ask today that you will help us. We consider this heart that you have purposed to give them. We thank you that you've given to us a new heart. And Lord, we want to live in the power and the life of that new heart. So help us, we ask, as we begin this new year. Let it be defined by us having a circumcised heart and living in the joy of knowing our God. So bless now this message, we pray, and grow us by it. Fix us on the things of God by it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Today I want to conclude our examination of this wonderful verse of Scripture that we've been giving ourselves to in the past weeks, how that God had promised in giving the prophecy through Ezekiel. And when God said, "Then will I sprinkle clean water upon you, and you shall be clean from all your filthiness, and from all your idols will I cleanse you. A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you an heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and ye shall keep my judgments and do them. That is Ezekiel 36, 25 and 26. A new heart. A heart to know the Lord. It is a fixed heart. We have seen that it is one heart. It is a heart of flesh. Today we again close our thoughts as we look at this and see that God Himself births each with a new capacity to shape the nature of fallen man to that will enable the new man to reach his intended destiny with his Maker. Aren't you glad you've got a destiny with your Maker? All right, you can stop shouting now. It is glorious, isn't it? What privilege is ours that you are the called of God. And we see each of these new aspects already in the human creation, but they're distorted. We love, but we do not love as we want to love. Isn't that true of you towards your God? That you love Him and yet recognize fully that you don't love Him as you know in your mind that you want to love Him. How you know in your mind how you want to serve Him and to have nothing there that casts a shadow. And yet we find day in and day out we have to run again to the blood, to the blood, to the blood. And we thank Him that we have the blood and that we are able to confess our sins and that He's just. How wonderful that God is just to forgive us of our sins. You and I know that there was no way of self-recovery, was there? So many already have broken the resolutions that only a few days ago they may have purposed in their heart. And sadly, year after year, they make the foolish resolutions to discover they don't have the power or the will to keep them. And I don't either. I have nothing in myself to keep me. It must be my God that I look to in desperate need to keep me. Peter would write, "And you who are kept by the power of God unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time." God must act. And God did act. And your lives have been changed. God chose one path, the one remedy, the one person, His only begotten Son, to stand for and with all that the Father gave Him. And to them, through the blood of His cross, He has given them a new heart. It is a heart to love the Lord. Heart to obey the Lord, and a heart to fear the Lord. All three of those we could take as subjects of their own. But this morning I feel it necessary just to press on to consider those three as we finish up thinking of this promise that God had given. And so it is a heart to love the Lord. Verse 6 says here in Deuteronomy chapter 30, "And the Lord thy God will circumcise thine heart and the heart of thy seed to love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul that thou mayest live. How wonderful that, and how I want this, and how you and I have been given this new heart. Moses foresaw through divine inspiration what Ezekiel confirmed some 900 years later, 900 years between what we read in Deuteronomy and what we read there in Ezekiel. God would confirm that. And God had already sent them out of the land. And there would be a first regathering, but it does not fully fit this portion of Scripture. The days in which the Jews were in the land when the Lord Jesus came, they were not freed. Their hearts were still in bondage. All we have to do is read the Gospels to see how bound the hearts of the Pharisees and Sadducees were. And yet, there's the flash of the woman at the well who is changed in a moment and went running to town to tell that she had met the Messiah who had told her all things whichever she had done. And she had to confess, he's the Christ. And the blind man whose eyes had been opened, and his testimony to those that so hated the Lord Jesus Christ, we see the flash of a new life. We see it in the lives of the apostles, and we certainly see it in the life of the apostle Paul. We see it in the lives of those Gentile churches that had people transformed from utter paganism to followers of Christ. Those that were walking by faith and were enduring what is described even in the Scriptures of great persecution by their own neighbors. Some even joyful in having their own goods spoiled. Are we prepared for that? That may come in this year. That may be what's about to happen among our brethren in Peru. We don't know. We need to pray for God to give them great joy. Moses had prophesied that there would be a dispersion of the Jews among all the nations, but a final regathering, a regathering that God himself would accomplish. But our focus this morning is on this heart, this circumcised heart. This heart that has been cut away from the natural nature. And God himself is the source of this. Verse 6 says, "And the Lord thy God will circumcise thine heart." And what was the statement that we find in Ezekiel? "A new heart also will I give you." God has been the source of this change of heart that you have experienced. God and God alone could accomplish this recovery, this transformation, this regeneration. It is a heart that the Scripture tells us that not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he has saved us. He has performed a washing of regeneration and a renewing of the Holy Ghost. And God himself is the source of all of this change of heart that we can read, record, and have seen recorded throughout all of history. It has been marked by the many martyrs worldwide whose lives have been taken. And yet they have stood and they have loved God with a pure heart. And what does the pure heart receive? They shall see God. very source of this heart is not religion, not baptism, nothing of us. Everything that we see here is described in the scriptures. It is the work of God, and the Lord thy God will. It is his will that is being accomplished in giving the new heart. Hallelujah for the source of this. And in this revelation, this heart that he gives is a heart that will, by absolute nature, desire to love him. And whatever the human heart loves, it gives itself to, doesn't it? Doesn't the mother naturally love the child and give herself and her energies to the preservation of that little life? And doesn't the father heart go out to that child and desire to work that that child may have what that child needs to care for mother and child? Yes. What the heart loves, it goes out towards. Jesus even said in his Sermon on the Mount there in Matthew chapter 6, speaking about where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. You start giving, your heart follows. Well, when God gives us a new heart and circumcises that heart, he puts a love in that heart for himself, because we are people that have been forgiven. And so now God is not only the source, he himself is the very aim of that heart. I'll give them a heart to do what? To love me. A heart to love God. A heart that only previously loved ourselves. And the Lord thy God will circumcise thine heart and the heart of thy seed to love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul, that thou mayest live. Hold your place here in Deuteronomy and turn with me to the Psalms. Psalm 18 we begin with. Psalm 18. The psalmist found this expression in this great poem that he writes. I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler and the horn of my salvation and my high tower. I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from mine enemies. Well, we're going to need the Psalms. We're going to need such language in this year, aren't we? But do you notice that God himself becomes the very aim of this love, this heart that David is expressing? Look at the 31st Psalm, Psalm 31. Psalm 31, verse 23. Here's my message to you today. O love the Lord, all ye his saints, for the Lord preserveth the faithful and plentifully rewardeth the proud doer. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart, all ye that hope in the Lord. I suppose we could make that as another aspect, couldn't we, of the nature of this heart. God puts hope in the heart, doesn't he? But what is the aim of that hope? What is the aim of that love? It is God himself. We look to God. Here's our message. Oh, love the Lord, all ye his saints. Do you count yourself as one of his saints? You're supposed to, aren't you? It's what Ephesians describes you as, one of the very saints of God. So here it is. Do we have to kind of force you to love him? If we have to force you to show your love and express your love to him, something's wrong with your heart. Because the heart that God gives is a heart that will love the Lord. And yet, here it is, we have an encouragement. Oh, you that are called his saints, love him. Love him. Oh, love the Lord, all ye his saints. For the Lord preserveth the faithful. God helping us to be this way. Look at the 40th Psalm, if you would. Psalm 40. Verse 16 and 17 of Psalm 40. Let all those that seek thee rejoice and be glad in thee. Let such as love thy salvation say continually, the Lord be magnified. But I am poor and needy, yet the Lord thinketh upon me. Thou art my help and my deliverer. Make no tarrying, O my God. Do you find this the heart cry? This is a heart cry that comes from a love that has been placed in a new heart, in your own soul. Let all those that seek thee rejoice and be glad in thee. Let such as love thy salvation say continually. Lord, be magnified. Let's pray that God will help us. God will help our missionaries. God will help all of those suffering in the middle of a battle, in the middle of physical decline. Wherever God's saints find themselves, let this be the cry of the heart of love, that the Lord be magnified. He is the aim. Psalm 70. Psalm 70, the 70th Psalm. The fourth verse reads, let all those that seek thee rejoice and be glad in thee, and let such as love thy salvation continually, let God be magnified. But I am poor and needy. Make haste unto me, O God. Thou art my help and my deliverer. O Lord, make no tarrying. This is the heart that cries to God. God himself is the aim of all of our searching and longing. And do you not remember all of the Song of Solomon? I'll not take you to any particular portion of the Song of Solomon. But the heart cry of the bride is for him. Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth, for thy love is better than wine. Over and over again, she recounts how gracious and wonderful her Lord is. This is not just some legal righteousness. But this is a righteousness granted to us by God's great grace. And the product grows in perception, doesn't it? Do we not recognize that the love that you have only grows? You know, when your children are little, you're pouring out your love and affection on them, and then when they grow up, get married, and have children, and begin to pour out their affection on their children, From that vantage point, they look back and they see how their mother, their father, if they're a true mother and father, doted on them, loved on them, chastened them, taught them. And their perception of the love that their mother and father had grows by the experience of them now pouring out the same love to their own children. So our love grows as we grow in our perception of what the Lord has done for us. And as we'll gather here this afternoon to remember the broken body, the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, our love for Him grows as that perception of His sacrifice, how that grows in our eyes. And we will say, the Lord be magnified. God be magnified for this great love wherewith He has loved us. Even the Lord Jesus spoke about those that are forgiven much, love much, there in Luke's Gospel, chapter 7. And so it is a heart to love the Lord. God says, I'm going to give you that heart. And that heart will have me as its focus. What a wonderful father I have. Now, my father was not attentive to me, and I've spoken about that in the past. My father did not know how to love me as God has helped me to love my children. But I am thankful that I have a father who has loved me and shown himself to love me and given me a heart to love him. Let us make it that this year we grow in a greater perception of His great love for us. A heart to love the Lord. But it is also a heart to obey the Lord, isn't it? Coming back now to Deuteronomy, if you would. Verse 2 says, and shalt return unto the Lord thy God, and shalt obey His voice, according to all that I command thee this day. And he repeats it in the 8th verse and says, thou shalt return and obey the voice of the Lord and do all his commandments which I command thee this day. And that is the very thing that is insisted upon there in Ezekiel. God says, I'll give them a new heart and I will give them a new spirit and take the stony heart out of your flesh and give them a heart of flesh, and I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you shall keep my judgments and do them. It is a heart to obey the Lord. In fact, if you want to turn here to Ezekiel, let's consider these very words as we find them in Ezekiel chapter 36 and this 27th verse. And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you shall keep my judgments and do them. It is a heart to obey the Lord. It is a new heart. It is a heart to walk in the statutes. The emphasis of the word walk there takes from it the underlying word for the scribe who would take and carve the very words into stone, engraving, enacting. And so to walk in my statutes is to take those things that God has engraved for us. They don't change. Sad to say, I recently heard of a man now in the pulpit of one of the former churches that I pastored who said, has publicly told his church he didn't like the restrictions that he grew up under. And he's wanting to relax some of those restrictions of ways in which he was taught, have a little more latitude and leniency within the church to embrace things that he could not do as a kid growing up in the world, that now as the pastor of this church, he wants to know the church, they can do those things. He doesn't want those things that are cut in stone. God says when he gives a new heart, it is a heart to love the Lord. It is a heart to obey the Lord. And his commandments are not grievous. Isn't that what John wrote in his first epistle? You're to walk in my statutes. It'll be a heart of flesh. Stony heart taken out of the flesh. And it'll be and God will cause. I'm glad for that. And not only is his name given as Jesus, he shall save his people from their sins, but he'll cause you to walk. Cause. I like that. Now, if you've got an old heart, you're kicking at that, right? You don't like these words, cause. God's going to make me do something? Well, you see, if you've been given a new heart, then the cause is a cause of love. It's not a vindictive cause. It's not a cause because God wants to hold his thumb down on us. Because what God gives us is to do us good, remember? It is the old heart that kicks at this. It calls us to walk in his statutes. Oh, but it goes beyond that. Not only to cause you to walk in my statutes, and you shall keep my judgments. The word judgments there is the verdict. You didn't like it when your mom and dad laid down the verdict. Because there was a command, there was something that you were to do or you were not to do. And God laid down judgments, a verdict. And he had laid that out in Deuteronomy chapter 30. Moses says, I have put before you today commandments. I put before you today curses. There's a verdict. And God says when he gives us a new heart, it'll be a heart to love him. It'll be a heart to obey him. And God will enable us to walk in his statutes and to keep his judgments. In other words, you begin to stand with God against the old things that rise up in your nature. You look at the commandment God has given and you look at the old man, the old flesh, the old nature, and you side with the verdict of God in opposition to your old self. That is true liberty. That's not bondage. Satan whispers to you and says, that's bondage. No, that's liberty. Because remember, what God is doing in love, and it keeps us from harm. It keeps us from the natural curse that comes from disobeying God and the awful consequences of that. We side with God. I want to side with God more this year. How about you? I want to stand with His verdict. But that also means that I must pronounce that verdict to others. And that's where it gets a little sticky. Because as soon as you and I begin to stand with the judgments of God and warn men and women and children of the verdict, that's when it puts us at odds with this world. God helping us, we will apply the verdict to our own souls, not hypocritically, and warn others of the verdict of God. But he goes on to say that not only will he cause them to walk in his statutes and keep his judgments, I like the very simple statement, and do. And that takes us back to what Brother Bob quoted for us earlier in the Sunday school hour from James, be ye doers of the word and not hearers only. The word do there means the actual enactment. The actual enactment. So it's not just God doing something in our heart to change us. It's not just us standing with the verdict of God on those that, items of a judgment that he has announced. But we purpose to enact them. We're going to stand on them. We actually do. But all of that comes out of the heart. And I'll give you a new heart. Take the stony heart out of your flesh, and I'll give you a heart of flesh. God enabling us to love the Lord thy God, to obey the Lord. And we grow in compliance to this. But I'm also would say to you today that the enabling to obey comes from the first part of that 27th verse. And I will put my spirit within you. It is the working of God's Holy Spirit that gives life into this new heart. Quickens, circumcises, and keeps the heart. It is the spirit that animates this new heart. And so he says it is a new spirit. Verse 26, a new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. It is the spirit of the living God that has animated, and Ezekiel particularly emphasizes this, and we'll see that when we come to the 37th chapter, God willing, next week. The spirit animates. It is a new spirit. It is my spirit, and I will put my spirit within you. And what could that be but holy? Holy. It is a distinguishing spirit because it cannot stand with the spirit of this world. It cannot stand with the spirit of our old man and our old flesh. It becomes a spirit that not only distinguishes but separates. And we grow in that. All of this is a growth of compliance in our own hearts, isn't it? We're growing in this. We're growing in the grace and knowledge. God is gracious to us to school us. It is a heart to love the Lord. It is a heart to obey the Lord. But it is also a heart to fear the Lord. And for this, I want you to turn to Ezekiel's contemporary, Jeremiah. I want you to turn to Jeremiah chapter 32, please. Jeremiah chapter 32. Jeremiah 32, verse 36. And now therefore, thus saith the Lord, the God of Israel, concerning this city, Wherefore ye say it shall be delivered into the hand of the king of Babylon by the sword and by the famine and by the pestilence. Behold, I will gather them out of all countries whither I have driven them in mine anger and in my fury and in great wrath. And I will bring them again into this place, and I will cause them to dwell safely. And they shall be my people, and I will be their God. And I will give them, and we've already looked at this in Ezekiel 11, verse 19, and I will give them one heart. But we go beyond that one heart to recognize that it is one way. That they may fear me forever for the good of them and of their children after them. And I will make an everlasting covenant with them, and I will not turn away from them to do them good, but I will put my fear in their hearts, and they shall not depart from me. So you see, this scripture has not yet been fulfilled, has it? Israel has not experienced this. Verse 41, yea, I will rejoice over them to do them good, and I will plant them in this land assuredly with my whole heart and with my whole soul. For thus saith the Lord, like as I have brought all this great evil upon this people, so will I bring upon them all the good that I have promised them. Let me say to you today, it is a heart to love the Lord, a heart to obey the Lord, and a heart to fear the Lord. And how wonderful it is when you and I fear God aright. When we honor Him and reverence Him. And I see it in a word in the Old Testament, a word used, respect. And I find it particularly in the 119th Psalm. I'm going to read three verses of Scripture in the 119th Psalm. The one way that God, one heart and one way that God gives us is a heart that would fear God. And it's found in this word, respect. In Psalm 119, the sixth verse reads, then shall I not be ashamed when I have respect unto all thy commandments. The word respect there is the word has, the meaning of it is to scan. And to look very intently with great regard. Then shall I not be ashamed when I have respect, great regard unto all thy commandments. It is used in verse 15. I will meditate in thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways. Here is a reverence for God, a fearing of God, a scanning of all that God has to say. We spent a little bit of time with Noemi yesterday morning, and we were talking about the challenges of getting her little ones to obey. And she made the comment yesterday morning that she was too afraid not to obey. She knew there'd be grave consequences, but she also knew that she was loved and that the things that she was told not to do were for her good. God helped her in a little child to understand that. Now, I'm not sure how many lickings it took for that to finally set in. And I'm not sure how many lickings you've had to have for it finally to set in on you. But aren't we glad that when God brings us to this place, that we scan out all of God's plans, they're good for us. And we have respect, we honor, we revere. The 117th verse also mentions this. Psalm 119 verse 117, hold thou me up and I shall be safe. And I will have respect unto thy statutes continually. What a blessing it is when we fear God. And isn't that exactly how Solomon finished his book of Ecclesiastes by reminding us, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Let us fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. We grow in this by experience. God is gracious to us to trust him, to grow in him, to rest in him. We know who God is. We know that he's infinite in person. The Lord Jesus spoke of those that in calling men to repent, he said, you know, do you remember the tower that fell on those? The Tower of Siloam. And you think they were more wicked than yourself? He says, no, I tell you, you need to repent. We recognize that our lives are in God's hands. And we reverence God, because God could take our lives at any moment. Paul spoke of knowing, therefore, the terror of the Lord. He said, because we know that we're going to have to stand before the judgment of Christ. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. There is a reverence, a respect. So which do we claim today? Do we claim our own righteousness or the promises of a new heart? In the book of Romans chapter 10, you remember, it is there that God speaks. And let's make a comparison to that. Go back to Deuteronomy 30 for just a moment. And in whole Deuteronomy chapter 30. And then I want you to open your Bibles to Romans and chapter 10. Get your hand there in Deuteronomy chapter 30. And then find Romans chapter 10. And let's just make a note here of how the Holy Spirit uses Deuteronomy 30 in Romans chapter 10. Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 11. For this commandment which I command thee this day, it is not hidden from thee, neither is it far off. It is not in heaven that thou shouldest say, who shall go up for us to heaven and bring it unto us, that we may hear it and do it? Neither is it beyond the sea that thou shouldest say, who shall go over the sea for us and bring it unto us, that we may hear it and do it? For the word is very nigh unto thee, in thy mouth and in thy heart, that thou mayest do it. Romans chapter 10, verse 1. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. For Moses describeth the righteousness which is of the law, that the man which doeth those things shall live by them, but the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise. Say not in thine heart, who shall ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down from above. Or who shall descend into the deep, that is to bring up Christ again from the dead. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew, for there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. The Holy Spirit uses this very language out of Deuteronomy 30 as the means to awaken Jew and Gentile alike. Some think the word is far off. Who can go up into heaven to bring it down for us? Who can bring it up out of the grave? Who can search it out in far lands? He says, no, the word is nigh thee. It's already there. It's in your mouth. It's in your heart. And what is it? It is to call. It is to call. It is to believe. It is to call. And if thou shalt confess with thy mouth and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. What is it for sinners? Would we have a new heart? A heart to know the Lord? A heart of flesh? One heart? A heart to love the Lord, a heart to obey the Lord, a heart to fear the Lord. It is nigh sinners that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth, if you'll come to Christ, believe that God has raised the Lord Jesus Christ from the grave. Christ is the end of that law. Christ and his righteousness alone. So Jew or Gentile, no matter where they would be across the globe, it is not that they have to return to Jerusalem. They have to return to sacrifices. They have to turn to Christ, who alone can give a new heart. And out of that heart, it'll be changed. A heart to love the Lord, a heart to obey the Lord, and a heart to fear the Lord. Do you have that heart? Has God given you that heart? Are you growing in the perception of that heart? John would write, and he would say, "Beloved, now are we the sons of God. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure." 1 John 3:1-3. Has God given you a new heart? Then work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Should some sinner ever hear this message, would you have a new heart? Would you have the righteousness of Christ? Oh, it's not far from you. You don't have to go searching around the world. God's word says it's nigh you. It is as close as your mouth. It is as close as your heart. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Would you call? Would you come? Would you ask? He will give a new heart. Heavenly Father, thank you for the glorious gospel. Oh, Lord Jesus, today, save some sinner. Let them see that it is but for them to bow the knee to the Lord Jesus. See him and but call and believe and receive. For those of us here that you've given a new heart to, Lord, help us to live out this new heart in love, in obedience, in fear of thee, respect and reverence of thee, scanning all of the word how we might honor you. We ask these mercies in Jesus' name. Amen. We close singing hymn number 379. Hymn number 379. You may stand with me as we sing together here. Take my life and let it be. Hymn number 379. And yes, singing all six verses. Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee. Take my moments and my days. Let them flow in ceaseless praise. Let them flow in ceaseless praise. Take my hands and let them move at the impulse of thy love. Take my feet and let them be swift and beautiful for thee. Swift and beautiful for thee. Take my voice and let me sing always only for my King. Take my lips and let them be filled with messages from thee. Filled with messages from thee. Take my silver and my gold, not a mite would I withhold. Take my intellect and use every power as thou shalt choose. Every power as thou shalt choose. Take my will and make it thine. It shall be no longer mine. Take my heart, it is thine own. It shall be thy royal throne. It shall be thy royal throne. Take my love, my God, I pour, At thy feet its treasure store. Take myself, and I will be ever only all for thee. Lord Jesus, that's our prayer. That's our cry. Oh, Lord Jesus, help us, we pray. Help every one of us today to love you, to obey you, to fear you. Thank you for giving us a new heart. Ever deliver us from the old man. Help us to put him to death. Mortify him in every act. And deliver us, we pray, we cry, we beg for a reviving, a great reviving. That we will do as the psalmist said, and let the Lord God be magnified. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.